It's Tuesday, August 16th, and you're listening to the Geek News Central Podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Please visit techpodcast.com. Welcome to the show, everyone. We've got a great one for you. Lots of great news. Strap in. Here it comes.
This is the Geek News Central Podcast, part of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. So grab a cup of coffee, take a seat, and crank up that volume. Because you're listening to Todd on the Geek News Central Podcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Geek News Central Podcast. I am Todd Cochran, your host. And welcome to the show, everyone, and I hope everyone had a great weekend and first day back work. I know my Monday was actually one of the most productive Mondays I have had in weeks. You know, very, very, very seldom do you have a productive Monday, but I had an it was totally productive, and we'll get into some of that. Hey, we're going to talk a little bit tonight. We got a ghost story to tell you about, something that my wife and I experienced this weekend. And we're going to talk a little bit about what's going to be happening with show 100. And I'm going to talk about a radio show I was on Friday. Lots of exciting stuff along with all the regular news and information that's out there. And we've got a lot of it tonight. And wow, the listener email is through the roof. I'm not kidding you. It is. And I must apologize. There was one listener that had submitted some stuff from the last show that I kind of messed up on. I have sent him I was kind of dumb about that and didn't read your entire email. So I'm going to be more careful about that and making sure that no one wastes their time when they send information to me. And we're going to talk a little bit about some of the events that went on Saturday with our Tech Podcast Roundtables presentation and just a whole bunch of a lot of good stuff. But hey, if you're a first-time listener to the Geek News Central Podcast, make sure that you visit geeknewscentral.com for all the great content over there, along with checking out all of the older archive podcasts. Now, you're going to want to be part of the 100th show contest. It's going to be coming up here. Actually, this is show 91, so we're basically 8 away or 9 away from show 100. So you got to be part of the mailing list. If you're on the mailing list, you're going to be able to participate in. We're starting to get a great lineup of prizes that is going to be presented for the 100th show. So far, I've got music CDs to give away by some independent bands. I got some t-shirts. I've got some professional audio dubbing and some other stuff in work, too. If you're a company or you're a listener and you want to donate something to our 100th show for prizes to give away to the listeners, make sure that you send a email to geeknews@gmail.com. And I'll make sure that we get it hooked up. We're going to be running promotions for all of those groups that are going to be and all the companies that are going to be giving stuff away for the 100th show. So this is your chance to maybe a little free advertising and help us out and give out some cool stuff. So we're looking forward to it. But you need to be part of the mailing list. We don't share that with no one. That email does not get distributed. We don't sell that to anyone. Your privacy is safe with us. Okay, let's, today, apparently, and I didn't realize this until I saw some, notes on some web blogs earlier today, was the 1 year anniversary for, basically Adam Curry and Dave Weiner's, first podcast. So, congratulations to those two for reaching the 1 year mark. And, this is kind of the beginning a year ago today then was the, beginning of this whole thing, podcasting and how it exploded. Of course, Geek News Central was not, I think its born on date was October 12th, but it's not here nor there. October 12th or September 12th, I have to go back and look. I can't remember one way or the other. Yeah, I have to tell you guys this story. Y'all heard about my ghost story about 6 or 7 months ago. We talked about it, my wife, and this is, I'm going to give you guys, some of you haven't been with us this long, and I'll tell you the first story first, and then I'll tell you the second one. Actually, we've had three instances here, but I'm only counting two of them as the real deal. You know, I live here on Ford Island, historic Ford Island, and during World War II, there was a lot of sailors that were killed on Ford Island during the attack on Pearl Harbor. And so there's a lot of history a lot of very interesting history on this island, not to mention all the stuff that goes on in Hawaii anyway for the long history here. But earlier this year, I live in a two-story house, and on the stairway to go up to the second floor, we have pictures hanging along the wall, and I had went out and actually purchased those real nice photo hooks, and they were, you know, the real nice ones with a nice angle, and so that, and all of the photos that she had hanging on that wall were all the wire type, were the actual, they weren't just a hook, they were actually had a wire going across the frame. So we had a family picture that was a full-size family picture, I don't know, maybe 2.5 feet by 4 feet, that was about the size of it, a real nice photograph, and it'd been hanging there for, since we'd moved in, and one night she was downstairs doing something, I was up here in the office working on another item, and she hollered up at me, like, you know, like, hey, I need something done, and as soon as she did that, this picture fell off the wall. Well, more like knocked or something, because no one was moving, and all she had done was hollered upstairs at me, and this picture had fell off the wall and went kerbang. Well, we both were pretty freaked out about it, because it was in a position it couldn't get bumped, and like I said, been hanging there for a while, and I know specifically I had taken extra caution in hanging all those pictures, because I got little kids going up and down the stairs. I didn't want any of them falling on them. Well, I guess it was Friday evening, and this is going to freak you all out. Friday evening, I'm sitting, and we're downstairs watching, you guys know that magician, Chris something. Well, anyway, he's been doing some stuff in Vegas where he's got a TV show, and we'd recorded it on the DVR, and I was watching, him perform where he's getting a buried alive stunt, you know, where he was in a coffin and they were going to throw dirt on top of him. And we were talking about that. And I said, well, you know, if that, remember a few years ago, they had one of those guys did this trick and it caved in on him and he died, you know? Well, as soon as I said the word died, now I'm not kidding you, to the absolute second saying died, we have, like a wind chime that hangs on a closet door. The closet door has one of those door stoppers so that when the door opens and it won't make a dent on the opposite wall. Well, it was a little door chime that hangs on that. And it's not nowhere near nothing. There's nothing that could have gotten hooked on. Impossible. This thing starts going ding ding dong ding 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 dong ding ding ding. Oh my goodness! It was like someone had went up and slapped this thing. I'm not kidding you. As soon as I said the word "died," it boing 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 boing. Oh, chicken skin. We here in Hawaii call getting goosebumps chicken skin, and I'm gonna tell you. Still freaking me out. So the wife is like, I'm calling the priest. We're going to have the house. They're going to come in and bless the house. We're going to have a Hawaiians in and do the chant. So, you know, I was like, all right, you had your fun. Get out, you know. So, oh, wow. So I thought I would share that ghost story with you. I know we had one from before, so I wanted to share this one with you. And needless to say, and what's really weird is Saturday morning, my boy had fell. He actually, early in the morning, got out of bed. He'd come up the stairways, and he's 20 months, and he fell down the stairs. He got to the third step, and he actually had, my son said, my older son, who was at the top of the stairs, was watching him come up. So he just, like, he rolled backwards. So here I'm like, okay, he's not going up and down the stairs by himself. You know, this could be a bad omen here. And he actually got hurt. He's got a shiner. And he had been carrying a little book when he came up, and he got bumped. That is a trip to the emergency room. So trials of parenthood. But my kid looks like he went three rounds because he's got this beautiful shiner. And it makes you so sad to see him when they're like that. But wow, what a very interesting weekend. And if there is something in the house, we're going to make sure that we do whatever we have to do to get them out. But Hawaii is so full of history and stuff that I'm not surprised. Well, enough on ghosts. Let's save you some money, okay? We want to get your own piece of the internet now at GoDaddy.com. The perfect way to start is with your own .com name, and my friends at GoDaddy.com make it fast, fun, and affordable. Right now, .com names are just $3.99 when you purchase any other product. Plus, my listeners get an additional dollar off any order. Just enter Geek2, that's G-E-E-K, and the number 2 as your source code. For .coms, it's GoDaddy.com. And thanks for GoDaddy for being a sponsor. We're real happy with the promotions that's been going on with them. We look forward to a continued long relationship with them. All right, on Friday, I was on a radio program locally with a DJ. We kind of went head-to-head on some, perspective of traditional radio and podcasting. There was two podcasters myself and another podcaster along with a DJ here in Hawaii that was on, and of course, the host of the show. I'll put a link up to it. I don't think the actual audio is up on the show yet, but I know that the posting is up on his website, so I'll put that in there and make sure that everyone gets schooled in. Okay, I have a whole bunch of show notes for you, and I want to talk real quickly through these because we're already at the 11-minute mark, and I want to be back into the full content before the 15-minute mark if I can do it, and we'll see if I can. Hey, JP, thank you so very much for your detailed information on getting me squared away on basically converting 8mm films or Super 8 films to video. And looks like any way about it is not necessarily a cheap solution to do that. I guess we're going to have to work at that a little bit at a time. But I do thank you for the information that you sent me and the links, of course. That is much appreciated. And JP is with the Society of Motion Picture and Television Engineers, so he absolutely knows what he's talking about. Okay, I also got an email from Stephen, and Stephen he's basically a credit card, how should we say it? He says he's a credit card programmer, and he develops software that basically determines what data that is shared with the banks. And I think this is important because I had mentioned that a lot of people's information is getting tracked by by credit card information, etc. And Stephen, I'll leave your name off this, of course, and I'm going to put this up as an actual weblog posting tomorrow. It's too long to read. But it is a pretty good description of what happens with credit card information that is shared. It goes into some detail. And it was quite enlightening for me in that those of you that are worried about, like your insurance company finding out that you're buying alcohol or whatever it may be, some of that detailed data is not being passed. But then again, some of it is. But it depends on some terminal types and some other things. But I'll put this information up probably tomorrow. I should send him an email first and ask him for permission to repost this. But once I get that, then I'll put it up on the website and you guys can check it out. So just keep an eye on Geek News Central for that information. Okay, I got a email from Roberto, and he basically is one of the pointed me back over to a Windows Secret. WindowsSecret.com article that talks about protecting yourself from, and he listened to one of the earlier shows about people that were downloading audio files, et cetera, and the risk that goes along with downloading audio and video and possibly having some sort of virus attached or embedded into some of those files. But this is a good article on Windows Secrets. It's a way you can protect yourself a little bit, especially if you're downloading a lot of podcasts and video, to give you an idea what really is out there. And it also is going to allow you to protect yourselves a little better, okay? Okay, I got an email from, we played their promo, I'm not sure if it was last show or a couple of shows ago, they asked for me to give them a little plug. Podcatcher.com is the website, and go over there and check them out. They are doing a show on geocaching. And basically, if you all haven't heard, this is a growing hobby or activity that uses GPS to find hidden treasure boxes. So go to geocaching is not their actual site, but that'll give you some information about what their actual podcast is all about. So podcatcher.com. Okay, I got an email from John, and he says he's been listening to the show for a couple of months, and he's liked some of my old school BBS stories. And hey, John, I have got something real cool to tell you tonight about BBSs, okay, and some historical information about BBSs that's coming on. There was actually a Slashdot article. We'll talk about it a little later in the show. So this is something that, and all of you that are old school BBS users are going to want to listen to. Bob Marcus turned me on to a cool song. Unfortunately, Bob, I cannot play that on the show because of the Creative Commons license restrictions in that, being that it is a non-commercial only allowed playing. So, but I'm going to put the link up to the song in the show notes. I think all of you will enjoy the song, and it's you guys will get a kick out of it. I'm not going to tell you the name, but you just have to listen all the way through. It is child safe, but you'll get a good laugh. Also, I got an email from a... Oh, actually, I'm going to admit this one wasn't directly towards me, so I'll skip that one. Hey, I want to talk about our tech podcast roundtable that we had on Saturday. Boy, we're running along already, so I want to keep on moving. But the, all planning, no matter what you do, and as much planning as you put into place, and you think you've got all the I's dotted and the T's crossed, there's always something that happens. About 30 minutes before showtime, I log into the GoToMeeting web space. And I look in the window and I see for some reason we're in a room that only allows 25 people. So when you set GoTo Meeting up for your events, you can either set a meeting under 25 or a meeting over 25. Well, apparently I did, and it looks like it was my fault. It looks like I had set up the meeting for 25, which I'm, till this point in time, I don't know how I did that. So in other words, I was sending 200 people to a room that could only hold 25, and there was nothing we could do to get that room bumped up without me making a new event. So make a long story short, I made a bunch of people jump through hoops to change rooms, and so we got started about 10 minutes late, and I had about had a mild heart attack in the process, but otherwise the show went off terrific. It was 90 minutes of great content and information for podcasters. And it's something that we're going to do again on September 3rd, which will be a different topic. Probably won't be about podcasting, but here's some information on the second event.
The techpodcast.com roundtable is going dynamic with GoToMeeting. Everyone had such a great time with the product the first time we used it that we will have live events with GoToMeeting again and again. GoToMeeting allows us to share what's happening on our desktops in real time. We will be demonstrating websites, software, projects, and all sorts of solutions on our presenter screens. And when it comes time to answer your questions, you'll see the answers unfold before you. GoToMeeting allows us to share your screen just as easily as it is to share ours. You can try GoToMeeting for your own needs free for 30 days. To get this special deal, head to gotomeeting.com/techpodcast. You'll love what you see.
And thanks for Victor for recording that for me. I really do appreciate that. That'll get you guys a little change from hearing my voice, okay? All right, let's get into the content. I got a bunch of you sent me some links, too. One of them that someone sent me was those of you that are aspiring authors out there, and I know there's a few of you that have sent me emails saying that you are. It appears that that independent artists independent authors are doing very well by going with, having their books published through second-party publishers, you know, really kind of, people that pay to get their books published. And, you know, some people are having some very good success and some very high returns on their, basically their writing investment. So I'm going to put this CNN article up in their technology section. I'll put this up in the show notes. You guys can all check that out. We're also in, it looks like MSNBC is getting on the podcasting bandwagon. They have got, they launched today a series of podcasts. So it's good to see that they're joining the party. And, but of course, you guys know what I think about that, right? Same old content, just repackaged. So, okay, on my website this evening, I put up an article that is probably going to cause a flurry of activity in the morning. And all I'm going to title it, and I'm going to let you guys go over and look at it, says ZDNet, comma, Gilmore Gang, comma, and Pod Show, Serious Conflict of Interest. So you guys maybe can get an idea what that article may be about. But You know, I think I've got some good points in here. If I'm off base, I expect all of you to call me on it. But I just have this, I'll just let you guys read the article, and then you guys can go over and check it out, okay? Okay, I got a email from one of the PSP users that basically is pointing towards an article. It shows a Sony PlayStation actually running Windows 95. What in the world would they want to run Windows 95 for on a... But here it is, you know, it's true. Yes, it's true. I've managed to run Windows 95 and Linux on the PSP. I've done it by porting the excellent open source x86 emulator box. So you guys can check that out. What are they going to think of next? Totally, totally amazing. Okay, there's an article I'm going to talk about a little later. Let's see, what else do I have? Okay. I think I've got everything covered in that. Now let's go into the actual RSS as far as what people have. This is the stuff that I found tonight. Okay, for those of you that are, you know, we're getting, it's next month, of course, is going to be the anniversary for the September 11th attack. But the New York Times has a record, and it's basically the complete coverage of the 911 records, and it has over 12,000 pages of oral history rendered in the voices of 503 firefighters, paramedics, and emergency medical technicians. These were made public on August 12th, and the New York Times published them all. I don't know how long before this goes behind a firewall, but I hope all of you go over here and check some of these out. And I read maybe a dozen of these already, and absolutely amazing stories. Just too many to really read all of them, but there is some significant history here that I hope you guys go over and check that out. And I know that doesn't have anything to do with tech, but I think it's pretty significant, and I think you ought to, if you want, check it out. Just, you know, it's basically paramedics and firefighters, see what they had to say. Okay, here's kind of the, one of my associate editors kind of sent me an email. Didn't send me an email. We made a comment on the weblog today, basically saying, hey, how come you're trying to find all the dirt on Apple? And I'm not trying to find all the dirt on Apple, Tim. What I'm doing is, you know, very few people complain about things Apple do. They really don't. People, you know, you guys, I must admit, the hardcore Apple users, you guys are faithful to a T. You know, you guys don't say anything bad. You know, you criticize a little bit. But there was an article that came out that Dan Gilmore had put up that he's got some problems with one of his power books. But Tim said, well, why don't you talk about the issue with Microsoft and the RSS naming issue that is being talked over on Scripting News? So I basically said, well, I'd read about it, but I hadn't really had time to talk about it too much. But as I was researching my information tonight, I did find some posts from one of my favorite webloggers that I read all the time is Asa Dulzer, who is on the Firefox team. And he's got an article that says RSS is a silly name. Of course, RSS is real simple syndication. And guess what I'm about to do? He says, yep, I'm going to defend Microsoft. And apparently what this is all about, and what it is all about, is that Microsoft is going to call RSS feeds web feeds rather than RSS. So a lot of people are like, why? Why are you going to reinvent the name? And I guess from my perspective, you know, and I found this from, I did two book signings this weekend, is trying to explain to people, especially people that are on the internet a little bit, but not a lot, what RSS is. And I get this deer in the headlights look all the time. So I try to break it down what it is. I use an analogy a lot of times. Well, it's just the same information that's on a web page, but in a different type of format or a web feed, or because they don't really understand RSS. And I understand Dave's point. I understand RSS, and you know, and I understand the difference between feed, web feed, or you know, it's basically the same thing. But there are some, I guess, arguments here that you can look at one way or the other. I think it's myself. I'm not going to get too worked up about it, long as they use RSS. And there's a lot of people coming out with new namespaces for RSS. You know, iTunes has, and some of my friends over at Financial Content have come out with some too for stock information that they're going to embed in RSS feeds. So I think that, I don't know. I don't know where I stand on this. I understand the reasoning. I understand the reason Dave's mad, and I understand the reason that Steve Gilmore has issue with it, is that it all boils down to money. Okay? They want to, the channel's changing, the way people collect information is changing. And, you know, it's, people understand RSS is free, but when you say web feed, you kind of repackage that. Maybe the general public won't know. I don't know, but there's some issues there. And I linked to three articles on the article I put up on the website, and they're all great references. And so go over and check on the Geek News Central. You'll find my article that was posted today, along with the link in today's show notes to Ace's comments. And let you guys weigh in, see what you think. Do you think this is a big deal, or would you rather Microsoft just play nice and continue to call RSS as it is and not change the name? Okay, how many of you got $100 million laying around in the safe deposit box? I wish I did. But right now, you can reserve your space for a $100 million ride to the moon and back. And the Russians are involved, and a private company here in the United States is. They're going to be sending a Soyuz capsule to the moon, and you're going to be able to orbit the moon and come back for a cool $100 million. I think I'd rather pay the $20 million, go to the International Space Station, and just look out the window for a few days. How about you guys? I think that would be, you know, you go out to the moon, what you're going to see? Rock? Dirt? I don't think I want to go to the moon. I'd rather go to the International Space Station and hang out and party up there. Okay, kind of already talked about the flaw with the notebook that some people are having with a USB ports. So if you have a G4 laptop with it's at least a 15-inch model. If you're having problems powering up hard drives on your USB ports, I guess you're not alone. There's some other people that have an issue too. And Apple is not really responding very well. They did do some attempts to help Dan Gilmore out in getting his notebook service. They actually exchanged it for a new one, but the new one had the same exact problem. So this is kind of my little ping on Apple this time around. So everyone gets a chance in the barrel here tonight. So Tim, all right, I know I'm not letting you down. Okay. Okay, now, here's the thing I think is kind of cool, and I'm sure Apple is not happy about this. Mac hacks allow OS X on PCs. And I guess this is becoming pretty prevalent. People are running it with relatively no issues. And what's amazing, and I think I'll link up the article. You guys can find, you know, there's some torrents out there with this information. But let's see if I can find the exact comment that they made. They're basically saying it's just running a lot faster than it is on a Mac, a native Mac piece of hardware. Oh, yeah. This is going to create some major debate. Think about that. They've hacked OS X to run on a standard PC, Intel-based PC, and it's running faster than it's running on a native Mac system. Oh, boy. Talk about some wars that are going to be created from this. It'll be curious to see what Apple does, because this is going to put a serious damper. If they get this thing to the point where it does all the functionality and all the bells and whistles work, they're in trouble. They are in big, big time trouble. And I'm sure this is a genie they don't want let out of the bottle. We've talked about this already a little bit, so we'll skip it up. Okay, Doug K, man, I love this guy. He did a real in-depth article called The Future Public Radio. And I think this is if you're a podcaster or if you're interested in media, I think this is a article that you all should read. He put it up on the 10th, so it's a few days old. It's been making the rounds, but I wanted to mention it because I did not get it in the last show. I think it's important for those of you that are thinking about how podcasting's changing the way we consume media, it's changing the way public radio is going to be doing stuff. I think this is an important one to read through and weigh in on. Make sure you put some comments on Doug's site on what you think about it, because I think it's a pretty innovative or insightful article. Okay, now here's kind of what I'm thinking may be the scoop of the night. And it's not necessarily, it's kind of a little bit of rumor, but apparently Google is going around and buying all, on a nationwide basis, they're going out and buying all kinds of capacity. Fiber, they're buying local backbone access, they're doing all kinds of buying of, basically they're building their own little backbone for their network. Now, there's some speculation going on, and this is some theories that are circulating, that they are building into a system that's going to result in a massive digital video database or on-demand television. In other words, IPTV, it's an internet-based TV system, or even a free ad-based Wi-Fi network. Can you imagine that? Use that in conjunction with local tracking and their Maps program and all that stuff. Google everywhere. You guys remember that video where Google assumes control? I'm going to have to dig that out and link that. I don't think that I have that link to that video. If any of you have watched that video where it talks about how Google becomes self-aware in 2010 or something like that, send me that link, because if this is the case, this may fit right into that hypothesis that's put forth within that that very interesting production. Okay, as we expected, DirecTV has dumped TiVo. So if you are a DirecTV user and you have a TiVo with them, sorry folks, DirecTV is out of the TiVo business. Don't know what that's going to mean to all of your subscriptions or what's going to pursue if they're going to support them for the meantime, for those of you that have dished out a lot of money. But it's the deal. They've decided to disengage their relationship with them. So the rest of you that are that have TiVos with DirecTV, I hate to say it, but you might be stuck with some hardware that at some point in the very near future will be worthless. Okay, over in Gizmodo, there's a review about a A-bit motherboard, but their experiment, actually A-bit is experimenting with a new heatsink device, and they're using a pipe. Basically a way to diffuse heat off of a heat sink. Heat is becoming such a problem on some of these multiprocessor and high megahertz or gigahertz processors that they're just having so much issues with heat, they're having to come up with new ways. So this thing's kind of bulky. It is kind of curious to see what they're doing there. But it's going to be kind of like an antenna radio where it'll be just dissipating heat into the air. But very, very interesting. And it's going to be a way to cut down on total news and not total, total heat within the actual system and total noise fan noise. Okay. Did I slaughter that or what? And, of course, we all heard that Apple lost their patent for the iPod. Basically, what this could result, I don't think it's going to happen, but what may end up happening is Apple may have to pay Microsoft $10 per iPod for infringing on a patent that they beat them to the punch with. So Microsoft basically kind of holds a patent for now for the interface that the Apple iTunes wheel is utilizes. So, but I don't think, I think they'll coexist, but we'll see if Microsoft gets nasty. Okay, over on Make Magazine, there's a report that NPR is basically going to disengage from Audible. They're no longer going to we kind of suspected this for a while, but it is official as of today that NPR is dropping Audible as a partner. And they're going to be working at their own strategy on distributing all of their content via podcast. Now, the question that raises is there some channel conflict in that NPR basically sells this programming to other affiliates? And what's going to happen now that they are kind of going to be in direct competition with those that they are selling that content to? So, I guess the way I don't think it's going to be too much of a conflict, because you think about it, you know, almost everyone in the United States probably has a radio, but not everyone in the United States has a computer, and by far not what everyone in the United States has a portable media device. So I think there's still going to be plenty of room for channel, you know, basically separation of channels, but NPR is definitely going to be pushing the line here with its partners. We'll have to see how it works out, but they're going to a podcasting strategy, which is actually good news and kind of helps push some of the models that I've been looking at, too. Okay, the website that I just want to mention it, the website that I, the radio show that I was on Friday, is called Greater Good Radio, and it's at greatergoodradio.com. And you can go over there and check out their website, local Hawaii radio station. Actually, it's a local radio program that's on a radio station on Cox Radio here in Hawaii. So you guys can check that out. Okay, it was Jason Calacanis announced today that Feedster has come out with their Feedster Top 500. And I went down and I started looking at the Feedster Top 500, and I have some issues, and I've already sent email off to the folks at Feedster asking how they came up with their Top 500 list. Because what I did is I went all the way to the bottom. I went to number 500, which is Search Engine Roundtable, which has 809 links. And I went over to a button that they have on their website that's called Links, and I entered Geek News Central. And our first research result came up with like some ridiculously low number of like 373 inbound links. And I had to laugh because I look over at Technorati, and my Technorati inbound links to the website show, because I have this number set where I was like 800 and some that I've tracked over the last couple of months. And then I went and they have an additional button you can push that shows another search variant of that same links deal. And I have like 1,700, okay? Obviously, I'm not in this top 500 list, so this is where I'm trying to question how they figured this top 500, what formula they used. If they counted individual websites and threw out duplicates, I don't know. But it is an interesting list. And, of course, Engadget is number one on the list. I'm sure Jason is just about wet in his pants because he's got a few of his primary company's weblogs in this list. And of course, they were offering $50,000 to any company in advertising and in, I think it was a kind of like a horse trade type deal that could give him the a legitimate top 500 list. Now, it's awful curious that Engadget's at the top of the list along with Boing Boing and some other weblogs, incorporated weblogs. So I'm not going to say that the fix is in. I know that a lot of people read Engadget. Now, no, I link to Engadget all the time too. So, but I do want to know how they basically did their calculations on this. So hopefully we'll get an answer back from Feedster. We'll see if they respond. I'm sure they will, and we'll find out what the story on this is. Okay. Good news for those of you that have been sitting on the fence and waiting for prices to come down on flat-screen TVs. They are basically, price of those are declining, and it's still kind of shocking, the price of these things. A 42-inch liquid crystal model retails now for about $4,200 on average nationwide, and the same size high-definition plasma sells for around $2,900. I tell you what, we have a Best Buy that just opened up in here in Hawaii. It's, believe it or not, this is, we haven't had a Best Buy yet. And of course, Best Buy isn't necessarily Best Buy, but I went in there and took a look around, and they had plasmas and widescreens from wall to wall on all price ranges. I think for the time being, the wife and I are just going to continue to enjoy our 25-inch CRT Sony Trinitron and not worry about going to a flat screen. I'm too cheap to go out and buy one. I'm just going to have to wait. I'll get one at some point, but it's definitely not in the budget, and it's definitely, we're going to wait till the prices bottom out, because they say that the industry is padding the price still by 25%. So this is a tactic you can use when you go into stores. Use a little bit of negotiating power. See if you can get the price down any lower. Okay, it looks like the RIAA is back on their recordable media and CDs are bad. They're evil. They're enemy number one bandwagon again. Now, you guys remember back when Napster and all those groups were getting in trouble with the RIAA and how they P2P, peer-to-peer, was the biggest enemy. Well, apparently since that battle has kind of died down a little bit, all of a sudden they're saying, oh, we need to go in and CD burning is a problem, and we really need to get some DRM in there to stop people's fair use of their music. Okay, so they're back on that man wagon. So expect, this is, mark my words, that sometime during the next legislative session in Congress, someone is going to introduce a bill to have more restrictions put on CD burners and any type of media that's portable, hard drives, you name it, it's coming. They're going to do everything and they can to prevent you from exercising your fair use rights, okay? So, you know, people are going to work around the system as best they can, and then they're going to fight them. But here we go. They're back on. It's sneaker netting material is evil again. Don't share with your friends, okay? I got two fingers up here, bouncing up and down, just like, okay, you know, these guys, of course, they're complaining that CD sales are down 7% this year. Well, hello. We're all buying music online for a buck a pop. We're not buying CDs anymore from the store. Are they idiots or what? Come on now. Okay, for those that are using Windows 2000, there is a new worm out there that is called Zotob, Z-O-T-O-B. There's a critical vulnerability in Microsoft Windows 2000's plug-and-play service, and there's a couple of new variants out there. So there is a patch for that was, of course, released last Tuesday. So if you did not patch on Patch Tuesday for your Windows 2000 system, you could be infected already, okay? So if you haven't patched your box, get out there and get your Windows 2000 system updated with a Windows update. Okay, Robin Good, he has done it again. New Media Picks of the Week, all right? This guy, where he gets his stuff, I don't know, but I would pay for this speed, all right? He reviews this week a site called Word Tracker, competencies for online instructors, one that's called Board Snatch, Mephedia, anonymous browsing, the Voice IP Buster, Blogflux, Ibolo, I'm familiar with that, VidDead, and of course, some Microsoft speed up tricks, List Garden, Feed Catch, Talk Digger, Feed for All. Of course, Feed for All, we're good friends with Feed for All. They were a sponsor over there at Podcast Awards. So, great tools, and again, if you guys don't have this in your default news aggregators, you need to add it, and I'll have this link up in the show notes. Okay, what else do I have? Okay, IBM has donated some code to Firefox. So apparently, in the next iteration of the Firefox build, we're going to see some improvement to the dynamic HTML code, and it's been given courtesy of the IBM Corporation. So I think this is a first that IBM has done this. Nice to see IBM kicking in some code and helping out the Firefox team. It's pretty awesome. So we'll see if more companies come in and start supporting open source projects like Firefox. Good news. Good news. Okay, also on... Okay, here's the news I was going to tell you about on the BBS stuff, all right? A lot of you guys know I run have run for years a bulletin board that's still online over at bbsnets.com. Basically, don't expect me to be on the board because I'm not, but it just sits here and it's down actually by my right foot, runs 24/7, hasn't been rebooted in months, and it still gets FIDO mail and gets new files on a daily basis. And believe it or not, like 300 people use the system on a daily basis. It still kind of amazes me. But anyway, Jason Scott put out a great a four DVD set called the BBS Documentary. He spent 4 years driving all over the United States, videotaping and interviewing BBS operators. And I was always in a place that Jason wasn't, so we weren't able to participate. But he has, I guess, like a terabyte of interviews that he is going to be processing. Now, there's all these, everything that's on the DVDs is available to be bought. It's been released under Creative Commons, but he's got all this extra stuff. And in conjunction with archive.org, over the next 6 months, he's going to be uploading 205 interviews that are going to be available for download, video and audio files, along with a zip archive of all the photos and supporting material. Now, we did send him an audio interview, so maybe we're in there somewhere, but this is great stuff. You know, totally awesome. Congratulations, Jason, for getting this done. And I look forward to seeing all this information put up over the next 6 months. And I'm going to be keeping an eye out for you. So when I see some cool articles, we'll get those linked up to you. And for those of you that have no idea what I'm talking about on a BBS, if you don't know what Telnet's all about and what us old school guys did on dial-up when we are still hooking up at 300 baud, that's right, 300 baud per second is what we were getting data at. And I've got a modem over here on my desk. I have two things that I have relics on my counter. I have a 1.6 gig hard drive that I paid $1,000 for. That's on one end of the bookend. And I had $376 300 baud modem on the other. And that's kind of my reminder that reminds me to wait for technology to mature a little bit and let the price come down, because it'll always come down. Okay, in space news today, Atlas V launched the mission to Mars. So there is the NASA Mars Reconnaissance Orbiter is on the way to Mars for a rendezvous in early 2006. Along with that, a Soyuz spacecraft has launched a Galaxy 14 communication satellite. And what else? Oh, there's one other thing. A triple asteroid was discovered, and it's the first of its kind where there was an asteroid actually has moons circling it. So this is kind of a cool thing, and they've got, I don't know if this is a real picture or not, but they found they call it a triple asteroid. So very, very neat stuff. All right, we're at 47 minutes. I need to wrap this up. That's all I really have for you tonight. Look through my little notes here. I do have one voicemail that I want to play and then comment on. But please send your podcast promos to geeknewspromo@gmail.com. Send your comments about the show to geeknews@gmail.com. Any comment that you have, any question you may have. Also send, you can Skype me at Geek News Central, or you can call the voicemail hotline at 619-342-7365. Again, 619-342-7365. I want to thank all of you for being subscribed, and I hope that you stay subscribed. All comments are welcome, positive and negative. And make sure that you get signed up on the mailing list. There's a link to it on the main page of the website. Actually, I think all the pages of the website have a link to it. And get signed up for the mailing list, because all the prizes that I'm going to give out for 100 show are going to be people on the mailing list. We don't share your info, okay? All the mailing list does, there's two of them. One, you can get just strictly show announcements, and that's two emails a week. Or you can be on the interactive mailing list, which you guys don't talk too much on there anyway. So there's a choice. You can be on interactive, or you can be on the send only, okay? So you're not going to get your inbox full of all kinds of stuff that you don't necessarily want to read. But sign up. I guess we'll see how we'll mix it up. But get signed up for the mailing list and be ready for show 100. But we'll be, looks like we're going to have some cool stuff. And if you want to donate some stuff, you know, send me an email to geeknews@gmail.com. Okay, I've got one thing on a voicemail call. We'll play that real quick and then I'll get that answered and we'll continue on.
Hi, Todd and Geeks Elsewhere. It's Matthew Holden here from Pod Asia, that's PODASIA.net, from Singapore. We have a question in relation to how can you assist us from people that are outside the United States being able to register the various podcasts with iTunes. It's a continuing and ongoing problem because a number of people have suggested that it's capable to be done. And a lot of other people have said you can't do it. I've actually tried to do it a number of times, but of course you need to register with a credit card, and it says because we're outside the United States, the credit card is unaccepted, therefore you can't register. So is this something that you feel that Apple is trying to diminish and limit podcasters to just the territories in which they're actually operating at the present time? Appreciate your comments, great shows, and of course please check out our website at podasia.net. Tech.net. Thank you.
All right. I think we've had this question answered before. I don't have a definitive answer, and I need to get one. And if any of you out there have a definitive answer to this, has anybody been just registering people's podcasts for them online from the United States? Have you guys just been adding people's shows as necessary for, you know, to work around this issue with Apple? I just wonder what everyone else has done. I really don't have an answer for it, but I think I'll get you one. We'll see what we can do. And yeah, it's not cool, is it? We need to get everybody on that list as much as possible. Of course, I'm still having trouble getting a couple of shows on that list too. So don't feel bad. They're not including everybody. That's for sure. But just make sure you get in the rest of the directories and promote your show just like you did there. And that'll be it. All right, folks, 50 minutes. I need to roll. Hey, thank you for tuning in. I really do appreciate it. Stay subscribed. Send your comments, like I said. And we will see you on Friday. Aloha.